tonight. So that's all right. You guys get the blessing and they don't. Lord willing. All right, let's take our song sheet. Dean, come up and lead us in Whosoever Meaneth Me on that song sheet. Eastern Gate. books, turn to page 140 with me. Kind of along the same theme there, 140, open wide ye doors. Overtime. In fact, Dean went down to do the jail today, the jail ministry, and they wouldn't let him in because it's too busy down there. So I said, no, not this weekend. And they're asking him to do 2 hours, maybe, because they have so many. they can't do them all in one general group, so they have to break them up, good, bad, and the uglies. So they're wanting to break up into like two services, or at least 2 hours, maybe three or four services, depends. So be praying for Dean that way, and it's good that we're able to do that. That's a blessing. So, and don't forget the picnic tomorrow at 5 p.m. and that'll be here at the church. If you'd like to come, that's fine. If you don't want to come, that's fine too. It's all right. So bring a side dish if you'd like, and then something kind of as a main dish, and I think it'll be a good time of fellowship. Right, Dean, please leave some prayer.
Father, thank you for these songs. Thank you, Lord, that one day we will be able to worship you on your throne and be able to touch your feet, Lord, that you, so lovingly gave your life for us on the cross of Calvary. I look forward to that day, and I pray to be with Brother John, the preaching tonight, and that, again, these tithes and glory, or these tithes be used for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Leah. So thanks for bearing with me on Sunday mornings. I know a lot of times it's pretty focused on salvation. You can turn to Psalm 19. Of course, I do that. And I want to present salvation for those that we have here, maybe in a way they haven't heard before, or to make it extra clear. For, of course, one person that sits over here, and then for all of them that come on Sunday mornings. So we'll do that, you know, once in a while, and then as we get more into, they've been here longer and they've heard it several times, we'll get into some different subjects, but, you know, for now, as the Lord leads, so thanks for bearing with me on that, and then pray for the cadets. I think the weekend of the 22nd is a family day, I believe is when it is, so they probably won't be here then, so we got a few more weeks and they'll have a family day, and then, so we might get more back into the life of David a little bit on times that they're not here. But we'll see how that goes. Okay, Psalm 19, and I got the right notes for it this time. If you didn't hear the story about that, you'll have to ask me later. But I got the right notes here written out. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll jump right into it. Father, thank you for the good group of visitors we had this morning, Lord, with the cadets and others. I believe it was a fitting message for those that were here. And so just pray that you would bless here tonight. God, as we come and hear your word, be with the folks that aren't here. God, keep them safe. Help them to have a good time of fellowship with family for those that are doing that. And pray that your spirit would be here with us tonight as we open your word and we look upon it. And God, about your word. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Psalm chapter 19. And we covered about through verse 10 last time. And so tonight we're just going to cover the last four verses of Psalm chapter 19. And keep in mind, if we look at verse 7, what this is all referring to, and really everything that we're looking at tonight, for the most part, we'll be referring to this too, where 7 is the law of the Lord, and it's the testimony of the Lord. And then verse 8 is the statutes and the commandment of the Lord. And then verse 9, the judgments of the Lord. And then verse 10, more to be desired are they. So his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, his words, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And then beginning tonight, moreover, by them, in verse 11, is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. So he said, moreover, by them is thy servant warned. Now obviously we've heard the verse many times, but Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I what? Might not sin against thee. That is one way that by the word of God we are warned. So keeping it in our heart. So again, there's nothing wrong with scripture memorization, and that is a good thing because God can use that to warn us when we're about to maybe cross a line or do something that we shouldn't do. There's other ways that God can warn us. We'll look at that further on and keep us from sin. But look at Proverbs chapter 6. Keep your marker in Psalm chapter 19 and turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6. And look at verse 22. When thou goest, it shall lead thee, and when thou sleepest. So what he's talking about here refers to the word of the Lord. In fact, look at verse 19. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment. So we could apply this spiritually, devotionally to our hearts, as this is our father's commandment. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Why? Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. And the word of God, we know, we mentioned last time, is a light unto my feet, or a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. And when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Now, if you're a Gen Xer in here, or maybe even some others, a lot of times that's the way you were raised, right there. The commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Now, if you want to get a little deeper into this, because Ralph and I were talking about this. Ralph, are you the fourth or the third, Ralph? Fourth, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking about that tonight, because there was Whitey, which was the original, and then there's JR, which is the junior or the second, and then there's Shorty, which is the third, and Ralph, which is the fourth. So he's the fourth I am. If you know that old song. But if you want to get weird, Ralph and I were talking about this last week and even before that, where he says there in verse 23, for the commandment, the word of God, is a lamp, and the law, also the word of God, is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. You think about Jesus Christ from John chapter 1, where it says, in the beginning was the what? The Word. So Jesus Christ, one of his names, and I'm not saying the physical words on this page are Jesus Christ, but in a way that we don't fully comprehend, Jesus Christ is the Word of God. So he is the Word. And the Bible says in that same chapter, in him was life, and the life was the what? Light of men. So he's also the light of the world. So when you read this and it says the commandment, verse 23, is a lamp. Man, that's Christ. He's the Word and he is the light. The commandment is a lamp and the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Now, sometimes people say, oh, man, the Bible is always, you know, it's just a downer. It's always saying you can't do this, you can't do this. Well, it's probably saying that to you because you are doing those things. But that is how we are warned, how the Word of God warns us, those reproofs of instruction, and they are the way of life. Because we are never going to reach the point in our lives where we have arrived and where we reach sinless perfection. There are some, you know, supposed saved people, Christians out there, that say, oh, there is sinless perfection and we shouldn't feel guilty. We shouldn't feel a burden because Christ paid for all our sins and they're all paid for. Well, yes, they're all paid for. But you still commit sin and you still need to confess your sins. And that's where the reproofs of instruction come in, and they're the way of life. But that is how, by them is thy servant warned. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You ever argue with yourself and quote scripture to yourself? You ever done that? Yeah. That's probably the two natures there, arguing one with another, but it is the scripture, that word, that can correct us and warn us. And 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 14, Paul says, I write not these things to shame you, but as beloved sons, I what? I warn you. Now, he was warning them of carnality, of worldliness. He was warning them, but that is exactly what the scripture does. Now, people say, and I've said it, you don't need, as a saved person, you don't need to read your Bible, but you should. Because you're going to get warned, you're going to, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, you're going to get warned, you're going to get cleaned, it's going to keep you on the straight and narrow path. You know, modern cars today, you know, great technology, but you take old cars like Dean's old truck, you know, that he drives, that old Chevy and some of those, the headlights were glass. And as long as the filament was burning in those things, it was always clear. You didn't have to take some kit every 2 years, you know, that it's fading and getting cloudy, but sometimes in our Christian walk, that's how it is. You know, things get a little cloudy, they get a little dirty, maybe there's some bugs splattered on our life spiritually, and we need the Word of God to clean it up so that, hey, how many of you have ever done that to your headlamps, where you polished them up and you got them cleaner, and you go out and drive at night and you're like, wow, I didn't realize what I couldn't see. And sometimes the Bible does that for us. We get cleaned up and washed in the Word of God, and we're like, oh, I can see it now. I can see clearly now. You know, everything that I couldn't see before, and that is how the Word of God warns us. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Especially living in Montana, you want to have bright headlights, you want to have clear headlights, so you can be warned of that idiot deer that waits until the lights are on the road before he crosses. And I think that's what it is. I think it's dark, and deer can't see in the dark as well as we think they can. So they're like, I can see the road now, I'm going to whack, and it's too late. That's got to be the reason, because it happens almost all the time that way. Hebrews chapter 11, and look at verse 7. Hebrews 11, 7. He says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God. Now you say, well, God warned him. How did God warn Noah? He spoke his word to him. And so that's the same application as we're looking at today, is the word of God warns us. He said, by faith, Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. And that's what the intention is. That's why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's so that when we fear the consequences of incorrect actions, we're less likely to do them. And so Noah, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now turn back to Psalm chapter 19. Now, there's also another sense of warning, and we'll not get into it tonight, but you can look in Ezekiel chapter 3 and Ezekiel chapter 33, where God is talking about the watchmen. And he said, warn them. I don't remember the exact wording, but God's telling the watchmen, he says, warn them from me. So not only does the Word of God warn us against our actions, we are to use the Word of God to warn others, of course, to get saved, to put their faith and trust in Christ. So that warning with the Word of God can go two different directions. Now, Psalm chapter 19 and verse 11, he said, moreover, by them, by thy words, is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. Now, obviously, in the Old Testament and in the tribulation, in keeping, that was part of their salvation, keeping the Word of God. For us today, it is not. But there is still reward for us today in keeping the Word of God, living for the Lord. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. This is probably the greatest reward, you could say, for keeping the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 3, and look at verse 16. Well, actually, look up at, oh boy. Well, look at verse 12. He said, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, okay, from the fear of the Lord, from his words, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it, of wisdom, is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She, now it's personifying wisdom, she is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. And then he goes on, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Wisdom is probably the key thing that we get from the Word of God. Wisdom about what's going on in the world, wisdom how to interact in the world, wisdom how to make decisions in the world, and that's what we need. We need wisdom. This is the wisdom of thousands of years of trial and error in the Old Testament. Thousands of years of wisdom in Proverbs and in all throughout the Scripture. I mean, all Scripture is profitable. Given all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Wisdom is probably the greatest reward you'll ever get from the Bible. And that is something that no matter if they can take the Bible away, they can't take away what's been imparted to you already. That is something that we ought to seek after, we ought to desire. That's why her price is far above rubies. I know that's the Proverbs 31 wife, but wisdom, it gives it the same connotation to it. He said, all those things are not to be compared unto her, unto having that wisdom. Look at Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. He said, and in keeping of them, there is great reward. Proverbs 29 and verse 18. He says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You know what? You'll be more pleasant in your own life and to be around if you're just keeping the Word of God. You know, when you're not doing right and you're grumpy and you're under conviction and you're just not happy about anything. So that is another reward of keeping the Word of God. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, and let's look down there at verse 23. James 1:23. He says, for if any be a hearer of the word, well, verse 22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. In other words, someone that says, I can come and listen to the Bible, and I'll just go out and live any way I want, he said, it doesn't work that way. Yes, you can do that, but it doesn't go as well as you think it's going to. He said, for, verse 23, if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You say, I want God to bless me in the things that I do, in my witness, in my family life, in being a husband, being a wife, being a parent, whatever it might be. Then be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. Now, I know James has other doctrinal applications to the tribulation, but devotionally to us, man, this fits. We need to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And he said, you'll be blessed in your deed. And we will be. And this is, you can even break this up into like a little, not illustration. Can't think of the word now, but you can say verse 22 is the challenge. And then in verse 23 is what they consider. And then in verse 25 is where you continue in it. So that you can break that up that way. But we need to be hearers of the word and not doers only, and we'll get rewarded. Let's look at one more place on that. Turn to 2 John. 2 John, pick whatever chapter you want. 2 John, and look down at verse 8. 2 John 8. He says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. So he said, and in keeping of them, there is great reward at the judgment seat of Christ. When we keep the word of the Lord, our works are going to be precious stones, gold, silver, not necessarily the wood, hay, stubble. So there is rewards in that aspect too, in keeping the word of the Lord. And I understand 2 John also has that future connotation doctrinally. But he says there, 2 John and verse 8, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought. Haven't you tried hard to live for the Lord? And why would you go out and just lose all those rewards or just squander it away in a sense? He said, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Now back at Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19 and verse 11 again. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. And then David said, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. So David even said, and this is a little bit like Jeremiah 17:9, for the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? David said, who can understand his errors? He said, sometimes we don't even understand all the ways that we can sin. Obviously, we understand the blatant ones, and we'll see those in the next verse. But he said, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Now, this can be applied two ways, and we'll look at it here. Look at Job chapter 6, right before Psalms, the book of Job. Job chapter 6. Job 6 and verse 24. It says there, teach me, this is Job speaking, and now he's speaking to his friends, he's not praying to God in this, but he says, teach me, and I will hold my tongue, and cause me to understand wherein I have erred. Now Job is telling his friends, tell me what I've done wrong. But you know, this is something we could pray to God and say, God, cause me to understand wherein I have erred. And show me. Because David said, who can understand? He said there in verse 12, who can understand his errors? And then he said, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Now the one way we can apply that, look at Psalm chapter 90, is faults that we were not aware of. But also it can be faults that we are aware of that nobody else is aware of. They're secrets. So there's sins in all our lives that nobody else knows about. Those are secret faults. There's also sins that we've probably committed that maybe the thought of foolishness or you know, an idle word or something like that that we're not aware of that God knows only. So those are secret faults as well. So two kind of ways that we can look at that. Psalm chapter 90 and verse 8. He says, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. So obviously everything is going to be made manifest before God someday. And any unconfessed sin is going to be made manifest. And any sin that was done in a corner and in the dark or hidden away from everybody else, that's going to be made manifest, if unconfessed, at the judgment seat of Christ. So those, in a sense, are secret sins. We're trying to keep them secret, thinking of it that way. But now look at Psalm 139. Psalm 139. This is a thought I don't like to think about much, is that, you know, where David said, cleanse thou me from secret faults. I've prayed that before. God, show me where I've sinned and didn't know about it. Because God still holds us accountable for those sins. Psalm 139 and verse 23, David says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, David, I believe, was praying this because he was right with God, and he believed he was right with God, and was clean with God. You know, had his sins confessed, everything he was aware of, but we can pray this in the sense of saying, God, search me. See if there be any wicked way in me and show me those secret faults. Cleanse out me from secret faults. Turn to Leviticus chapter 4. Let's kind of get a little bit more on that thought. Leviticus chapter 4. And look down, let's see, look at verse 1. Leviticus 4:1. We'll skip just through a handful of verses in this chapter. He says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through what? Ignorance. So it is possible to commit a sin and not be aware of it. Say, I didn't know, God. Don't hold that one against me. No, God's going to hold it against you, but he'll make you aware of it. He said, if a soul sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done and shall do against any of them. If the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin. And he goes on there. Skip down there to verse 13. Same chapter. It says, and if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, and the thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly, so that they're completely unaware of it. It's not that they're under conviction and just refuse to confess it. They're not even aware that they sinned. They sinned through ignorance, and it was hid from their eyes. And he says, and they have done, verse 13, somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which should not be done, and are what? Guilty. So those can be secret faults. Those can be issues, sins in our lives that we weren't aware of. Now look at verse 28. 28. Well, look at verse 23 first. It says, or if his sin, now this is talking about a ruler, or if his sin wherein he hath sinned, come to his knowledge. See, God can make you aware of that. God can convict you and say, hey, I mean, that's probably happened to all of us. I know it's happened to me where I did something, and later God said, you shouldn't have said that, or you shouldn't have done that, or that was, you know, that wasn't right to do that. I'm like, yeah, Lord, you're right. Now, at the time, I wasn't instantly convicted about it, but afterwards, the Holy Spirit spake to me, and I'm like, yep, I got to go get that right. I got to apologize, or I got to make it right. So he said, or if his sin wherein he has sinned come to his knowledge, he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a male without blemish. Now look down at verse 28. He said, or if his sin, which again, same verse, which he hath sinned come to his knowledge, then he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a female without blemish, for his sin which he has sinned. So that can be, back at Psalm chapter 19, that can also be the secret faults. And you say, well, how do I know about my secret faults if I don't know about my secret faults, or if I sin through ignorance? Pray and ask God. Say, God, show me. That's what David said here. This is why I believe David, when we compare this to verse 13, this is why I believe David was talking about sins maybe of ignorance that he wasn't aware of. Because he says, who can understand his errors? He said, cleanse thou me from secret faults. And then he says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. In other words, those are sins that I know I'm committing them even before I commit them, or at the time I'm committing them. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Now look at Genesis chapter 20. Let's take this one, a couple key words in here. Well, you don't need to turn there to Genesis chapter 20. But he says, keep back. So David says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Now listen, That burden of not sinning is largely upon us, but there's nothing wrong with praying to God and say, God, you know me. You better, God, you need to keep me from sinning. I need all the help I can get, God. Now, the one example I was going to use, but you're familiar with it, in Genesis chapter 20, where Abimelech saw Abraham's wife, and he took her, and God said, and Abimelech said, hey, I didn't know she was a man's wife, and he even told me that it was my sister, and that's why God said, that's why I kept thee from sinning against me, and suffered thee not to touch her. And so there, in that instance, God actually kept him from sinning against him, and God can do that in our lives. God can keep it. I have seen times in my lives where I was going to make a decision or do something and not necessarily in sin, but then later I saw the situation differently and I'm like, oh, God kept me from doing something wrong there. God kept me from sinning. And that is what David is praying here in verse 13. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Now let's look at those. Turn to Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21. So we're comparing secret faults and presumptuous sins, because that's exactly what David did in Psalm chapter 19. So Exodus chapter 21, and look at verse 14. He says, but if a man come presumptuously, there's our word, if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die. In other words, it was premeditated murder. He said he came presumptuously. So we're getting an idea of what that word presumptuous means. And in this case, it was premeditated. He thought about it before. He knew what he was going to do. Now look at, Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy 17. And verse 12. And the man that will do presumptuously and will not hearken unto the priest that standeth to minister there before the Lord thy God or unto the judge, even that man shall die, and thou shalt put away the evil from Israel. So in other words, he was warned by the man of God. He was warned by the word of God, and he still did it anyway. So he knew the consequences. He knew it was a sin, and he said, I went out and still did it. That is a presumptuous sin. Let's look at it one more time. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. So when we're seeing the comparison David made between, he said, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. So he's saying, I want to be cleansed from secret faults, but also from presumptuous. So ones that I'm aware of, and also it looks like from ones that I'm not aware of. 2 Peter chapter 2, and look at verse 10. 2 Peter 2:10. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. And so that gives you kind of the character traits of a person who does that. He said, presumptuous are they. They just go out, they don't care, they're just going to do it anyway. He said, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. All right, Psalm chapter 19. So in verse 12, he says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. And I believe in this case, it's faults I'm not aware of, God. I sinned in ignorance. And then he says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins, and let them not have dominion over me. In other words, he said, sometimes you can give in to those things. And he said, Lord, they can have a pull on us. So David understood, as close as any Old Testament saint probably could, he understood what it was like to have that pull of those presumptuous sins, whether it's something the flesh, the addiction, whatever it might be. He said, let them not have dominion over me, then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. And then he says in verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now really, this should be the goal of every one of us every day. This should be our goal, to let the words of my mouth, the things that I say to somebody else, to you, and just maybe in my heart and mind, to let the words of my mouth, and he said, and the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my Redeemer, and my strength and my Redeemer. Now the implication here is that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, they should match. In other words, you shouldn't be saying one thing with your mouth and your heart is completely different. Because we see that in Scripture. Look at Psalm chapter 51. Psalm 51. And that goes back to the old adage that probably every person has heard from their parents. If you can't say anything good, what?
Don't say anything at all.
So you're like, I'm not thinking good, so I probably should not say anything. You know, just, well, bless your heart. Something like that. We don't say that up here so much, but Psalm 51, and look at verse 15. He says, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. So he was saying, here, let me see who this is. This is David? Yeah, this is the Psalm of David. And David said, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. So he's saying, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. So think about what we say and what we think. Say, God, is this acceptable in your eyes? You know, if we prefaced every thought and every sentence or every conversation we had that, is this going to be acceptable to God? We'd probably think and talk a lot differently at times. You know, if we did that. Look at Psalm 55 and verse 21. Psalm 55, 21. David here again says, the words of his mouth. Now, this is the opposite. He said, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. He said, oh, his words sounded great, but he said, that's not what he was thinking. His words and his heart didn't match. He said, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. That's how we should not be. Now, look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119. In verse 9, Psalm 119 and verse 9. Now we quoted this already, but wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And then he says, with my whole heart I have sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. That's how you accomplish having the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart be acceptable in God's sight. We get so full of the Bible. And let it warn us, let it instruct us, let it lead us, let it guide us in everything. You could preach a whole message on what the Word does in leading, guiding, warning, all those things. But if we let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly and allow Him to work in our lives, then the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart will be acceptable in His sight. Look at Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15 and verse 8. And he said, well, look at verse 7. He says, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. And you see this comparison many times between the mouth and the heart, the mouth and the heart, because sometimes there's a disconnect there. But he says in verse 7, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. So again, that goes back to the comparison of the mouth and the heart. Now look at Hebrews chapter 13. We'll finish up a little early tonight, but that's okay. Hebrews chapter 13. And let's see, let's go down to Hebrews 13 and look at verse 13. It says, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Now that right there, that'll help you get through a lot of frustrations in this life. Because it's like, you know what, it doesn't matter. We have a continuing city. We have no continuing city here, but we seek one to come. Then verse 15, it says, by him, by Christ, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now take that and let's go back to Psalm 19. So if we're filled with the word of God, and if we're warned by the word of God in verse 11, we keep the word of God in verse 11, we ask God to help us to understand our errors and cleanse us from secret faults, to keep us back from presumptuous sins, then verse 14 should be the result. To let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And this goes, I've used this illustration before, But my dad told me when I started working, you know, full time during the summers, when I no longer had a summer vacation, I was 11 years old, and my dad told me, as a lost man, it was good advice, I didn't like it then, but he said, if a boss tells you to do something, he said, no matter what it is, and you know a better way to do it, he said, you still do it the boss's way. Because he said, when he is happy with the way you do it, and he is pleased, he said, that's all that matters. He said, you are at this job to please the boss, so you do it the way he wants. And that is exactly what this is saying right here. He said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It really doesn't matter what other people think, so long as we're pleasing the Lord. Now, I know people say, I don't care what other people think. Well, you should care as a Christian and being an ambassador of Christ and being somebody who represents Christ. But if we're pleasing the Lord, that is what matters. And yeah, the end result, they may not like it. There may be the offense of the cross or the offense, excuse me, of the gospel. But the God is the one that should be our focus. Sometimes we're afraid of offending people, and there's a right time. But if it's within God's will, that's okay. Sometimes we're not afraid of offending people, and we should be. Maybe a little more conscious of that. Say, you know what, I want to go easy so that they'll be ready and willing to accept the gospel. So it's different in every situation, but ultimately, we got to make sure that we're pleasing in God's eyes. And it comes down to the Word of God. And having that in us and dwell in us and be in it and have it in us, just like Christ, we are in Christ and Christ is in us. We need to do the same with His Word and then say, God, let everything I do, my thoughts, my words, my actions, be acceptable in thy sight. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for speaking to my heart through this, Lord. And it's just a good reminder of where our focus needs to be. And God, ultimately, who we need to be concerned with pleasing and doing right in the sight of, and it's you. And Lord, help us to not only be kept back from presumptuous sin, but from secret sins, from secret faults. God, show us wherein we've erred. God, keep short accounts with us and convict us when we do sin through ignorance, that we might get it right with you. God, and just pray that your Spirit would be with us this coming week. God, help us as we join tomorrow for fellowship here at the picnic. God, be with others as in their activities throughout tomorrow and the rest of this week. Be with Tabitha and Ariel as they head back to school. Please keep them safe. And God, I know Ralph going to work and others, a lot of activity going on this week. But would you be in all of it? God, that in all things you might have the preeminence. Thank you now for this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's do 166. 166. Thanks for coming. Hopefully see you tomorrow at the picnic. If not, see you Wednesday night. You're dismissed.